Welcome to Satan is My Superhero.
Whoa, whoa, stop.
There's a trigger warning.
What is it a trigger warning for?
Everything.
It's a trigger warning for all the things.
On with the show.
In this episode, we will look at one of English literature's greatest names, the romantic poet, Lord Byron.
I'm the king of wrong, I'm the king of wrong. I'll be the hammer, you be the gong. I'm going straight to hell, why don't you tag along? We'll show Satan who's the new king of wrong. Check it out, Beelzebub, you better scooch up on that chair. There's a new sheriff in town. Me, the king of wrong. The king of wrong is leaving the building. You know the name, the king of wrong.
It is claimed outside of the UK he's the second most read British author behind Shakespeare.
Get ye behind thee, Baron. Actually, you know what? You just stay right where I can see you.
We first mentioned Byron in our episode
Science Fiction Satan.
Gratuitous back catalogue plug.
Where we quoted contemporary and rival to Byron, Robert Southey, who dubbed Byron and his good friend Percy Shelley as
the Satanic School.
Southey claimed their work was
characterized by a satanic spirit of pride and audacious impiety.
Satan. Adding to Southey's glowing endorsement, there is, of course, the more famous quote about Byron from Lady Caroline Lamb.
Mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
Then there's his work. Poems and plays about the apocalypse, angels of death, vampires, defying the gods, a tribute to Dante's Inferno, Lucifer and St. Peter litigating over a king of England at the very gates of heaven, an ode to Napoleon, likening him to our favourite disruptor, the Witch of Endor from 1 Samuel, the Devil's Drive, or the story of Cain told from the point of view of the murderous Cain.
He wrote totally metal poetry, dude.
Satan. After all of that, how could I resist doing an episode about this man?
I know you love the bad boys, but trust me, this one's not for you.
Now, before we talk directly about Byron himself, it's important we give you a bit of a family history.
Time for a brief background.
Byron's family history reads like rejected plot lines from a Mexican soap opera. It's sex, murder, and mayhem on every page. The only plot line missing is an alien abduction. There's something in that family that's not right.
They are free.
Also, through those family connections and everyone he met during his short life, there is barely a person or event in the last 300 years of British history that Byron isn't at least tangentially connected to.
He's like Forrest Gump, but with syphilis.
My mama always said...
Seriously? Forrest Gump?
You got to compare Joel Osteen to Alexander the Great. I can compare Forrest Gump to this piece of poo.
Well, good luck with that.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
The Byron family first arrived on the beaches of Old Blighty in 1066 with one William the Conqueror.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a Byron, and I'm here to have sex with everyone. Everyone.
The Byron family then spent the next 750 years acquiring large quantities of land and wealth.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a Byron, and I'm here to take everything. Everything.
Byron's grandfather, John Foulweather Jack Byron, had been a very famous vice admiral whose lifetime of heroic adventures included shipwrecks, maroonings, two wars, and setting a speed record for circumnavigating the globe.
And that was just a Tuesday.
Foulweather Jack was also a famous pants man. And Byron the poet happily acknowledged his granddaddy's exploits with the finest women of Europe as the inspiration for his character, Don Juan.
One day I'll kind of be played by Johnny Depp, and there'll be a window of time where that is considered a good thing. And then Amber Heard will shit in his bed and now, well, I just don't know.
Byron's dad, John, Captain Mad Jack Byron, was a chip off the old block, but more mad. It is believed he had an incestuous affair with his sister. His letters to her got very saucy.
Dear sister, please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a Byron, and you're a Byron.
And we all know what that means.
Mad Jack's first wife, the Marchioness of Carmarthen, was married when they met, but they began an affair anyway.
Oh, Mad Jack, are we doing the right thing?
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a Byron, so I don't actually understand the question.
The Marchioness had three children with Mad Jack, including the daughter Augusta Lee. She pops up in the sister episode to this episode, The Women Byron Screwed.
Awkward.
Sadly, the Marchioness of Carmarthen made like a Byron and died young.
Are you a woman of childbearing age in the 19th century?
Sorry about that.
Captain Mad Jack then married his second wife, Catherine Gordon, for her money.
Churchy.
Which he blew through in a couple of years before impregnating her with the subject of this episode, running off to Europe and doing like a Byron, dying young.
Live like a Byron, die like a Byron. Young and filled with STDs. All the STDs.
Catherine was now penniless and all alone, except for a couple of servants, to raise little George Gordon Byron.
Just two servants? Ugh. Poor people are so gross.
Little George had been born with a cowl. This is a thin membrane that covers the face and head of some newborns. It's harmless and easily removed.
Not the last time this guy looked like a dickhead.
He was born with a twisted foot, and because of this he had special shoes, but refused to wear a metal brace that could have helped him walk.
You know who did wear the metal brace for his legs?
Run, Forrest, run!
Which brings us to how penniless little George Gordon Byron became Lord Byron, or more precisely, the 6th Baron Byron, because his no-good dad sure wasn't the 5th Baron Byron.
Or was he?
No, the 5th Baron Byron was little George Gordon's great uncle William.
Just William? Oh, he sounds totally normal.
William was known as the Wicked Lord or the Devil Byron.
There it is.
William ran his neighbour through with a sword in a dark and dingy tavern. At his trial, the Devil Byron claimed it had been a legitimate duel between friends. The Wicked Lord pulled his membership to the 1% Club card and got convicted of manslaughter and let off with a fine.
Well, Your Honour, we were having a perfectly normal and civilised disagreement about game hunting when out of the blue my cousin and neighbour William Charworth said something about the king. So I was compelled, nay, forced by our Lord who art in heaven himself, to run the despicable man through with my sword.
You get him, Baron.
My only regret is that blighter dying prevented me from doing it again.
You're the best 5th Baron Byron, who I've never met before.
You've done this nation a great service, Baron Byron. I don't know how we can possibly thank you.
I'm totally not being paid to be here.
Don't mention it. The pleasure was all mine.
After the sensational trial, rumours began spreading about William the Devil Byron murdering other people, worshipping Satan and harbouring a swarm of crickets. You heard correctly. A swarm of crickets.
I'm training them to have affairs with all the wealthy women of Europe.
When little George Gordon was only 10 years old, William the Wicked Lord up and died.
Oh no, my crickets have got loose. No, don't have sex with me. No, not me. Oh, the humanity.
Being 75 years of age at the time of death, the Devil Byron may be the oldest Byron male on record. They tend to die in their 30s.
Foreshadowing.
So this means the Wicked Lord had outlived his own son, his own grandson, his brothers, and all of his nephews.
Hey, little George, guess who's a motherfucking lord?
The title came with debt rather than any money, but there was substantial property which could be leveraged for credit. So Catherine and little George are still penniless, but that's not the same as being poor.
I don't need money. I'm wealthy.
Now officially Lord Byron, he went off to school at the very prestigious Harrow. And despite the fact that he had a twisted foot and was a terrible athlete, Byron ended up representing Harrow in the very first Harrow versus Eton cricket match.
Just like when Forrest Gump played football.
He must be the stupidest son of a bitch alive, but he sure is fast.
This famous annual cricket match is still played at the world's most hallowed cricket ground, Lord's.
Excuse me, are all these legitimate phrases used in the game of cricket? Ball tampering, bottom hand, bowled around the legs, chest on, daddy hundred, donkey drop, finger spin, follow through, glovesmanship, golden pear, good length, knuckleball, meat of the bat, middle of the bat, milking. Oh, good Lord, give me a moment while I regather myself. Okay, woo. Occupying the crease on the up, P roller, pink ball, quick single, ramp shot, reverse swing, rib, tick glass, sticky, wicket, tail, ender, third man, 12th man, through the gate, tied down, very fine leg and full toss?
Yes, those are all legitimate phrases used in the game of cricket.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm Lord Byron and I'm here to play cricket.
Also, while at Harrow, Byron wrote of his passionate relationships with other boys at the school. It does appear these were probably sexual relationships.
I'm housing 300 teenage boys together overnight. Should I be concerned about any sex stuff taking place?
Nah. As long as they all have played cricket, no one will ever want to have sex with any of them.
In 1805, Byron entered Trinity College at Cambridge. He wrote of Cambridge.
It is the devil, or at least his principal residence. They call it the university, but any other appellation would have suited it better, for study is the last pursuit of the society.
It is true, study was low on his list of priorities at Cambridge. Here is where his reputation for gambling, drunken debauchery, tomfoolery and shenanigans really got to stretch its legs. For example, the school had a rule that said you could not keep a dog, but said nothing about bears.
Is that a bear?
Yes, that's Rover.
Oh my God, what is he doing?
Just go with it. Just let him dominate you without resistance and it will all be over soon.
Oh, the humanity!
There's a good boy.
While still at Cambridge, Byron published his first book of poetry, which he then recalled and destroyed because it was too raunchy.
He described naked ankles!
When he did actually publish a book of poems that was sold to the public, it received negative criticisms. So Byron wrote a satire about critics. His satire was so cutting that allegedly a critic challenged him to a duel.
I demand satisfaction.
Ooh, I love satisfaction. What did you have in mind?
Pistols at dawn.
Oh, you can point your pistol at me any time.
Forget about it. I don't want to duel you now. You've made it weird.
In 1809, Byron took off to Europe on his gap year with nothing but the wind in his hair and his manservant, William Fletcher.
Just one manservant? Ugh, poor people are so gross.
While in Greece, Byron wrote letters detailing sexual relationships with at least five different miners and swimming in the Hellespont.
We have to write a sketch about the Hellespont.
Oh God, boring. What else is in the script we can use? While in Greece, Byron wrote letters detailing sexual relationships with at five different...
So the Hellespont, they call it the Dardanelles nowadays. What's up with that?
Believe it or not, but Byron was the first person to ever swim across the Dardanelles. There is a famous story of someone doing it in ancient times, but that is thought to be myth. It gets worse. It always gets worse with Byron. According to Swimming World magazine and others...
Most aquatic historians point to this date and Byron's feat as the birth of modern open water swimming.
It's just like when Forrest invented jogging, but with a sex offender.
I'm pretty tired. I think I'll go home now.
In 1812, Byron published the long narrative semi-autobiographical poem about his European gap year, Childe Harold's Pilgrimage.
Hi, Hi, George. It's your publisher here. Loving the early drafts of the poem. Just a quick note. Focus groups have had an adverse reaction to the child molestation stuff.
Child Harold's Pilgrimage was an instant hit, and in Byron's own words,
I awoke one morning and found myself famous.
Over the next couple of years, Byron had lots of affairs, got married, had lots of affairs, fathered a daughter with his wife, had lots of affairs, fathered a child with a teenager, had lots of affairs, fathered a child with his half-sister, had lots of affairs, fled the country never to return, been blackmailed by his wife.
If you want to find out about Byron's many affairs, who he marries, which teenager he fathers a child with, how hot his half-sister was... Wait, what?
Alright, just skip that part.
Okay, all these stories and more can be found in this episode's Superior Sister episode, Women Byron Screwed, over on Patreon.
Visit SatanIsMySuperhero.com
and follow the links to support the show. When you had me rate those old portraits last week, was one of them Byron's sister?
So the teenager that Byron fathered a child with was the half-sister of none other than Mary Shelley. Claire.
I know there were less people back then, but is there anyone in the story who isn't someone's half-sister?
So it is through Claire that Mary and her husband Percy Shelley met Byron. This is how they all ended up spending a weekend together in Switzerland, and Frankenstein, or the modern Prometheus, came into being.
It's just like when Forrest taught Elvis to dance.
Oh, see, man. Show me that crazy little walk you did there. Slow it down, son.
It gets worse. It always gets worse with Byron. So famously, Byron challenged everyone to tell in a scary story. Mary Shelley came up with Frankenstein, and Byron told a folk story he had heard in Greece about a vampire.
This is going to be tough to tie back to Forrest.
Now, it just so happened that Byron's personal physician, John Polydor, was there on this night. Yes, that's right. Heavily in debt, Byron was travelling Europe with his own personal physician.
Well, people are always telling me I'm sick.
Polydor then wrote a novel based on Byron's folktale and tweaked the character of the vampire to be a devilishly handsome and charming aristocrat.
Ooh, I wonder who it could be.
This novel, The Vampire, gets read by a young Bram Stoker, and the modern interpretation of Dracula, the archetypal vampire, is based on Byron.
Remember when that guy with the yellow t-shirts gives one to Forrest to wipe his face? That's Polydor.
Have a nice day.
In your face, haters. I always knew I could do it.
So ostensibly, Byron has had his hand in the creation of Frankenstein's monster and Dracula. But just two of the greatest characters of all time isn't enough for Byron.
I will create all the characters.
No, he also created the Byronic hero. This archetype draws heavily from Milton's Satan, a dark and brooding, complicated character with a traumatic past filled with guilt.
Remember the shit happens, bumper sticker guy? Yeah, okay, I'm reaching.
It happens.
Examples of the Byronic hero you may be familiar with are Darth Vader.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Wolverine. And the one I already had a sting for, so I put it on the top of this list, even though there's heaps of better ones out there.
The Phantom of the Opera is there, inside your mind.
So Byron spent 7 or 8 years moving around the continent, writing, having affairs, and being Byron. For example, while living in Venice, he set up his own menagerie with horses, exotic birds, and monkeys.
Of course he had a menagerie. Of course he did.
Because I'm a controlling asshole.
Being a lord, Byron actually had a seat in England's House of Lords. He had made speeches and voted on laws. He had been outspoken and actually got involved with various political movements over the years. His politics could be described as progressive by the standard of the day.
Welcome to Faux News Entertainment Corp. I'm Malik Moans. This just in, Joe Biden is Lord Byron. Think about it. Biden... Byron? Huh? Huh? What about Hunter Biden? Is that a Byron if you ever saw one? Are you sitting down? I'll give you a second. You're going to need to be sitting down for this. Sure, everything I've said up until now has been opinion. I mean, entertainment. But this, what I'm about to tell you right now, this is fact. I mean, entertainment. An entertainment fact. This is something you can Google right away and you'll see the exact same thing. Are you ready? If Lord Byron were alive today, he'd be exactly Joe Biden's age.
Mic drop moment.
You heard it here first on Faux News Entertainment Corp. I'm Malix Mones.
Malix Mones and Faux News Entertainment Corp are proud to be sponsored by Christ Incorporated. Christ Incorporated is a subsidiary of Yahweh International. Stay stupid and keep hating.
Stay stupid and keep hating.
So goddamned overselling shit to these inbred morons.
Due to his fame and his openly expressed political leanings, Byron had been wooed by the Greek independence movement. Byron was so wooed, he invested money in the Greek military and raised his own brigade.
Excuse me, Lord Byron. The men are just wondering why all their uniforms are crotchless.
While leading his troops through Greece with the intention of fighting the Ottomans, Byron adopted a 9-year-old orphan girl.
Nothing to see here.
But before Byron could face off against the Ottomans, Byron caught a fever, got bled by the so-called doctors at the time, and died.
I see the problem. You have too much blood.
His biographer, Thomas More, burnt all of Byron's diaries, letters, and the biography Thomas had written, because old Tom correctly believed posterity would judge Byron harshly.
He's a kid.
But poor old Tom could not destroy all the letters Byron sent. There are over 3,000 letters from Byron still extant. When did Byron get time to write 3,000 letters? And those are just the ones that survived.
Byron had a rule. He wrote a letter every time he had sex with someone he shouldn't.
What can we take away from Lord Byron? I just hope we didn't catch anything. Well, I guess we'll leave the final word up to Byron. This is Lucifer talking about the Garden of Eden with Cain from Byron's play, Cain.
Who was the demon? He who would not let ye live, or he who would have made ye live forever in the joy and power of knowledge?
Even in a play written by someone I know to have been a despicable, disgusting human being, the devil comes off as the best character. And that's why Satan is my superhero. Thank you so much for listening. Rate, review, subscribe, all that podcast stuff. But most of all, please give us money.
Visit SatanIsMySuperhero.com.
If you join our Patreon at the Third Circle of Hell, you'll receive access to exclusive content like this.
I think your corset is too tight.
Why would you say that?
I can see the outline of a baby in your throat.
I've hit the fucking jackpot.
Oh, someone please at least save the penis.
How about you? Shut the fuck up and get back inside your big house.
I think the 18-year-old hottie is genuinely into me.
You get an abacus, weirdo.
I'm like 14. Of course I'm already engaged to be married.